Let's start over in Romans, chapter 13. We'll start in verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, or in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision of the flesh to fulfill its lusts. The light of God is the new nature. And I have to tell you that the born-again trail, the message of the born-again trail itself, but the root of the born-again trail, once I began to really understand that I have His nature inside of me. You know, I am actually a child of God. Pastor Dave even says that the DNA for my new flesh is in the new nature that He gave us. That this old flesh will be shed, and then our new flesh, it comes from Him. It changed the way, once I understand that, the way I read the Bible, the way I understood things. It changed the way that I believed, because I'm no longer believing for God to give me something. I'm believing because He already has. I'm His child. You know, and in your future, I'll just go there. In your future, God has a purpose for you. He has a calling for you. Say that with me. Say, I am called. And I know we've kind of, in the past century, have separated callings as full-time ministers are called, and everyone else is participants. And we're at fault a little bit too, because even when I'm praying for someone in a prayer line and I see a calling of ministry on them, a full-time position of ministry, I will say these words, oh, you're called. But the truth of it is, everyone is called. I'll try that again. The truth of the word, the truth of the body of Christ, is that every single person is called. Now the scripture says that many are called, but few are chosen. Well, God didn't call you not to be chosen. I know that for most of us, even though I am doing what I feel I'm called to do right now, that God's released me in the direction of ministering, preaching, my role of preaching to me is no more important than anybody's role in the body. Because I didn't get to choose my calling. In your mama's womb, did you get to lift up your hand and say, hey God, because that's the first time He met you in your mother's womb. He knew you'd been coming for 100 billion years, but the first time He met you was in your mother's womb. And in that moment, He looked at you. And He looked at your personality. He looked at your likes, dislikes. He looked at your personality. He looked at you in your mother's room. He looked at you. You understand? He knew you. When Harrison was in Christy's belly, she would fight with him all the time. And I always loved watching it, because she would argue with, you ever see a woman argue with her stomach? She'd be, Harrison, stop it. Because he would move all the time and stretch. I mean, she had it down to a science. She had to eat at a certain time, and she ate certain things, he'd get more active. It was really interesting. But he had a way of stretching and putting his feet right into her ribs, and she would be fighting them and stop it. And I remember that when he was born, the old doctor that came in to look at him, they took him away. And they inspect him. And he came back in, this old-timey baby doctor, and said, now, I want you to know your son is perfectly healthy, full term, congratulations. Then he looked at us, it's our first baby now. You know, you're kind of in shock. You know, I don't even know how you survive the first baby. You just kind of walk through everything, you know, hold on for dear life. And he looked at us and said, now, you need to get this boy on a schedule. He's 2 hours old. He said, you need to get this boy on a schedule or he will run your house. Of course, Christy's newly mom instincts are fired up all of a sudden. And we were wondering, what? He said, out of all the children, thousands of children that he has checked out, inspected. Because he said when they inspect them, they pull their limbs and turn things to make sure all the joints are there and everything. He said, of all the children I've ever inspected, no kid has ever fought me as much as this boy fought me. So his little personality was already fighting at 2 hours old. And let me tell you, that doctor is 100% correct. See, when God met you in your mother's womb, now listen to me, he met you. Not the one that was damaged. Not the one that was broken by circumstances. But he met the pure little baby in your mother's womb. That's where you were. It's the first time he met you. Now what he did was he looked at you. And he looked into your future. And that's where he placed a calling on you. A calling that fit with you. Now, it doesn't mean that everything you're good at is your call to. Okay? You can be 6'8", doesn't mean you're called to play basketball. I'm not trying to tell you that you can get there naturally because it's impossible to get there naturally. But many people try. That's the purpose-driven message. Is that they find the you that God meant and they want you to find your purpose and let your purpose fulfill you. See? So God met you in your mother's womb. He looked at you and he designed a calling for you. Oh, you got to look at me when I say this so you get this. God designed a calling, a place in the body, a job in the church or in the body. I don't want to say church because people want me to think church building. In the body of Christ, God designed a job in the body of Christ specifically for you. And he stamped you and called you to it. That's when you were a little baby in your mother's womb. He did not make you for a calling. He made a calling for you. And then he went into your future. And he waited for you to come find him. And the day you were born into his family, that's the day also you were called into his body. Are you understanding me? So you're born into the family of God, but you are called into a body of Christ. You have a purpose in the body of Christ. Now, where the church has stopped is right there, that we know of, most churches, which is we've designed churches to have a corporate purpose, to help give you purpose. And what happens is someone who has a purpose, when they do something they like to do, something they love to do, and they get active in the purpose, that purpose satisfies them. The purpose of what they're doing fulfills them. Okay? Because there was a book called The Purpose-Driven Life, but before that book was The Purpose-Driven Church. And many churches adopted the philosophy of your job, now you're in church, is not just to come to church, but to find your purpose. Now, I remember when I was, I guess I was 17. I wasn't serving God. And I had to decide my career. And I decided I was going to be a teacher. I like the idea of teaching. I like the idea of helping. And so I got accepted into university and played soccer. So I had a little scholarship for the university, the small one, not a big one. And it was during that summer before I was a start university that I really got hold of God. I remember I was baptized in water and made a commitment to God. And it was, I remember having just a incredible moments of intimacy with God where I began to discover things. And it was about a week before or a couple of weeks before I was to start university to go learn to be a teacher that I was approached by the pastor in the church who said, "We're interested in offering you an internship at the church for this next year or a few months. There's no pay, a lot of work, but you'll get to learn things and grow things." Because that pastor saw a call of ministry on me before I even knew it was possible. Because I wasn't raised in church, I was raised in heathen world. You know, I didn't know about Moses that much, or Noah, or I didn't know. I was just, you know, I was actually the white sheep of my family, but I wasn't Christianized. But they saw the call of God, the call of ministry on me. And I remember coming to that place, and I knew that I was supposed to do that. And so I turned down. I didn't go to university. My parents were not pleased. I don't blame them. They're just good parents. They didn't want a bum running around the house. 10 years later, feed me. But I had to do it. And I remember it was the first week that I was like a fish that found water. And I began to discover that my calling. And I'm saying this because in your life, okay, you will attempt to fulfill your purpose or your calling in a natural form. If you just get rid of, shed all fear, and you do what you love, in a manner, you will actually be walking in your calling, but you'll be the one doing it out of your own natural ability, desires. And that's the process that God will take all of us through, of letting that part die, where you won't live your life for purpose to satisfy you. You'll live your life for obedience. Amen. And maybe you've heard me say this before. We're supposed to let our dreams die. And what I mean by that is you don't let go of the hope of your dream. You let go of your power to make your dream come to pass. You let go of your power to make your calling come to pass. And it may seem like you're out of control. And you're really not out of control. It's just that you're not in control. He is in control. The place where all religion is built. Every religion, doesn't matter if it's Christian religion, all religion is built in one place. And that is where you get to do what you want and serve God at the same time. And you put that together. That's where all religion is built. There's only one way for us to fulfill our calling, and that is to let go of your life, the will, the right to make your life happen. Most believers will never come to that place to where they let go of their will. It might be fear. Some people have had to fight hard for everything in their life, so when it comes to trusting God, it's a little harder for them. Maybe no one has taken care of you, and so to trust God is hard. God doesn't want us to fulfill our dreams, because then our dreams and our calling begin to satisfy us. It begins to feel good to do things. And I understand there's some of that. You know, I like the feeling when I'm doing what I'm called to do. But do you understand? He wants to be the one who satisfies you. Not your calling. Not your purpose. If you're called to preach, he doesn't want you preaching so you feel good about yourself. He doesn't want you preaching for people to look up to you. He doesn't want you raising the dead so that they'll think you're really super incredible. It should be the same as if you vacuum the floor. Because the point of being a minister is that you are a servant to the people. The walk of this gospel is for you and I to be servants to the people. We're to serve them the love of God, the power of God. We're to serve them the ministry of love. That's our role. Our role is to minister to someone. I can tell I'm digging myself in a hole here. I'm going to keep digging a little more. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. I think what I'm trying to get to is that there are seasons where you have to let go of everything and it looks like there's no hope for you. I want to go to 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry. And it feels like there's no hope. I'm spending my time, maybe you're in a season of praying in the Holy Ghost, like when the Lord told me, I don't want you preaching, I want you to sit and pray. And he was teaching me not to look at my ministry as who I was or my calling as who I was. It was what I did, but it's not who I am. And so maybe you're in a season, it looks like your dreams are getting further and further away. Remember those days when you're all excited about doing things for God and I'm going to pray in tongues and God's going to launch me into my ministry and you thought it would be like a 3-month period? You know, I remember holding on to Pastor Dave's testimony. I quit my job and I prayed for 3 months and then money showed up. And a car showed up and my ministry showed up after 3 months. And I thought, calculated, I can do that. And so God called us into that season. Man, 3 months came by and I was waiting and nothing. Nothing happened. 4 months, 5 months. And it seemed like the passion to pursue God, the passion to press into God began to disappear. And it just became what I did every day. And it wasn't that my motivation to serve God left, that I lost it. It was that I had false motivation to serve God that was leaving me. See, I used to have a motive to do things for God because it would feed me. It would make me feel good to do something for someone else. It would make me feel good to prophesy to someone. It would make me feel like I was accomplishing something. And when I continued to pray in the Holy Ghost and obey, all of a sudden I felt unmotivated. And this is the process that the Holy Ghost, I'm assuming, has taken many of you through too, where you're actually putting to death the purpose, the ability of purpose to satisfy you. You're putting to death the natural means of you fulfilling your calling. I hope I'm not too confusing right now. If a man who's not born again, lives his whole life and does what he loves to do, doesn't get a job just to pay his bills so he's safe, but actually just does what he loves to do his whole life, do you know that he, in a sense, can fulfill his calling? But it will be in his natural ability. He'll be walking what God would have called him to do, but it was all self centered for self. Everything he did was to feed himself. Now a man gets born again, and if he still just does what he loves to do and he's born again, do you know that in a sense he's walking out his calling? But it's in himself. He's doing what he wants to do. He's satisfying himself with what he's doing. See? And this process that the Lord will have us go through is one of putting to death the ability for you to satisfy yourself in what you do for him. Most Christians live their life in the name of God. Many things are done in the name of God. I had to get healed here when I moved here. Because I've heard 1,000 preachers, and I'm not exaggerating on this, say, in Jesus' name, Jesus is saying this to you. Or saying, Jesus told me this. And that name of Jesus was thrown around so much that I came here, and if Pastor Dave said, Jesus said, just bounce off of me. If Gary said, the Lord taught him this, just bounce off of me. Because I didn't believe him. As much as I respected them, now understand, I respected them, but I was new here. As much as I respected them, there was a thickness of heart towards that, because I watched too many preachers use the name of Jesus for their own means. I remember being in a service, and there was a pastor who was known to prophesy and be accurate. And we're in a service, and there was a girl that came, was in part of Brother Norville's ministry. I was in Brother Norville's ministry. And that girl liked me. I did not know that girl liked me. And she was older than I was. Like 15 years older than I was. So, yeah. And this preacher knew that this girl liked me, but he liked her. So as he was doing a prayer line, I was helping out, and just, you know, I was on leadership there. He grabbed me and said, Alan. Just like this. The Lord's showing me your wife. She's from a town close to where you're from. I'm believing for you to have a good wife. Well, I knew. Right then, I saw the whole picture. I knew exactly what was going on. While he was talking to me and prophesying to me, it's like the whole thing opened up for me. I knew exactly what was going on. He was trying to, in case I was interested in the girl he was interested in, take, because she's from a different country than I was from. So he was trying to get me off the scent if I was interested. Most ministry that you watch out of the American church is done to fulfill people's self-purpose. That's what most of it is. And if you find yourself struggling with motivation, struggling with the passion, that's not a bad thing. Because what happened to me was I had to continue to put to death the ability of myself to offer God something as a sacrifice, a service, a job. God, I want to do this for you. I'm going to witness for you to make you happy with me. Because you're his child now. You're no longer just his servant. We obey him. We serve people to him. And we build an intimate relationship with him. Second Corinthians chapter 5 is where I want to go. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. This is verse 16. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we've known him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So God has, through Jesus, reconciled us to him. Jesus made it possible for his Father to become my Father. But in that, he has given me the same ministry of reconciliation to the world. And it tells us what that is. Verse 19, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling to the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, and through God we are pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We have a ministry. Our first ministry is to let the world know that God's not holding their trespasses against them. The reason you go to hell is not because you sin. It's a shame that the world looks at the church and says, yeah, I go to church. They're going to make me stop drinking, stop smoking, stop partying. That's what the church does. When I get through that, then I'll go to church. That's not the message of the church. The message of the church to the world is be embraced by God. Now, once you're in church, it's a different message. Grow up. But we don't tell them that until they get in here. You have a ministry. First of all, your ministry is to serve the world with a message of reconciliation. One lady came up to me. She said, I want you to pray that God gives me a better job. I'm supposed to be blessed, and my boss is mean, and he always gives the bonuses to the pretty girls, and never to us, never to me. And he said, this person said, and I just want you to pray that I get a better job with more finances. Will you pray that? And I said, no, I can't pray that. Well, why not? I'm a child of God. I should have more abundance. And I said, no, I cannot pray that. It's the same as when someone comes into the prayer line and says, you pray that my son will get out of jail? And it's a mama. Will you pray that my son will get out of jail? And I have to say, I can't pray that. What? He needs to be out of jail home with his mama. And I said, well, that's possible. I said, but you understand, my father was saved in prison. My stepfather. Prison is what he needed to get saved. Now, I'm not saying everyone in prison is supposed to be there. I'm just saying that I can't pray that your son come out of jail. I can pray that God's will be done for him. Just like I can't pray for God to give you a new job. Maybe God wants you in that job. Maybe God wants you in that place so that mean boss can be mean to you and only get love back. Maybe you're there as a witness to that boss. Do you understand that the power to make those choices should not be up to you, but up to him? The power to make a decision in life should not be up to you. That's a right that a human holds. I have a right to do what I want, when I want, to live how I want. That's a right. But as a believer, you're to give that right up and to give it to him. And say, Father, I have no rights. I've been bought and paid for. My life is not my own. I don't get to go because there's more prosperity for me. I don't take a job because it gives me more. I go where he tells me to go. And so many people want to live a life of serving God, but yet holding on to their will, their rights. I need a new spouse. Mine's not making me happy. They're not coming to church. I can get married to a church guy, and then I'll have no more problems. Yeah. What do they say if there's a, if you know of a perfect church, don't go there? Because if you go there, won't be perfect anymore. The ability to fix things, to make things happen for yourself, to find happiness, prosperity, peace. You can do it in your natural ability and even in the name of God. But then you're still doing it. Do you understand? That's just as religious. You ever go to a big university where they have the graduation? And they have all the different professors up there, and they all have different robes. You have different colors because of the school. They wear the school they graduated at and got their doctorate at. They have their own robe and their own tradition. So you look up there, and all the professors, all the students have the same robe because they're from that school. But all the professors have different robes, different color ropes and everything. You ever see that? Well, that's much like our church today. Not our church here, hopefully, but our churches today. We look over at that guy and go, look at that religious robe he's wearing. Look at that. Yeah, they're so religious over there. You know, they do this, they're so religious. And oh, look at that guy. Look at that religious. Look how religious he is. But yet, you look at you, you're wearing a robe too. Just different. Religion is not how, I don't know how to say this. Religion is not traditions. Religion is a place of the heart. And all religion, no matter how it looks, is built in one little spot where you hold on to your right to live how you want, make choices how you want, and serve God at the same time. If you seek God, the first thing He goes after is asking you to give Him your will. That you will yield your will to Him. And the biggest fight that you're going to face, or that we'll face, is in that spot. Because you'll come to a point where the only way to move forward with Him is to let go of the very thing that's feeding you, making you feel worth something, making you feel valuable. And it will come down to purpose. If I do this for somebody, I feel valuable. I feel like I'm doing something for the kingdom. I'm feeling valuable to God. Ah, it satisfies me. I'm not religious like those guys. Those guys, they go to church for an hour. You know those churches that have 1 hour services? I don't know how they do that. I mean, we just get warmed up here in an hour. We're like, stop playing. It's been an hour. You know, 1 hour, sir. Religious people. You know, they don't pray in tongues. Religious people. You know, yeah, we can name religion, but don't be just as religious in a different robe. Standing on line, up on stage with them. I remember I went to three pastors, they're friends of mine. And one of them had decided, I'm stopping Sunday night. How do you word it? It was really funny. I'm stopping my Sunday night service. And back, you know, 10 years ago, if you didn't have Sunday night service, that was a big deal. So we're stopping Sunday night service because we want people to have more family time, you know. And then he said, but the other pastor, he's still holding on to religion. You know, Sunday night service. And it's tough because I preached for him, then I went and preached for the other pastor. And you don't share stuff like that. But the other pastor's like, oh, you're just over his church. Yeah. He's getting all religious in that whole freedom thing, you know, canceling Sunday night service, trying to, you know, seekers friendly, you know, he's seeker friendly. But man, they're fighting, you know, just different robes, blaming each other, trying to feel, but listen. You and I can be just as religious. The point that makes you religious. I'm preaching good now. I know I am. Has to do with that one little spot. And when you follow God, He'll get you there where you have to let go of your ability to satisfy yourself, to provide for yourself, to build for your future. What did He say? It's better to give. No. He said it's better to obey than to sacrifice. The day we stop obeying God is the day we sacrifice more. So we can say, look, I'm doing all this good stuff for you, God. God's not interested in our sacrifices. He doesn't want us to bring an offering of good works to Him, an offering of good things to Him. He wants us to do one thing, get to the place where we'll go where He wants us to go, do what He wants us to do. You know how dangerous of a life it is to live your life how you want and serve God at the same time? That means everything you face, everything you struggle in, everything that comes against you, you got yourself there, you have to get yourself out. Whatever is built by the flesh in the name of God, the devil can take just like that. But whatever is built by faith in obedience to God, the devil can never stop. That one spot where you have to let go and feel safe in one thing. Him. We have to let go of our dreams and not pursue our dreams. That's why it's funny to me, someone, you know, I'm called to this, so that's only what I do, but I'm called to. Well, no, we're all called to be servants. You don't get to choose. You know the seasons of life where I was following God and He took me down places I didn't want to go? Made me stay. The worst part was making me stay places I didn't want to be. Making me face myself, making me face my fears. Make me walk through my insecurities. If you met me when I was 20 years old, you would not realize, well, how would I say it? I was about as insecure as any man is insecure. I held on to prayer and the Holy Ghost because it's all I had. My destiny from my family was not to be successful, it was to be a failure. I was a man who was full of... I remember when I was in high school, we moved to a bigger high school, and I had to catch the bus to school at lunchtime. I'd go down to eat lunch in the cafeteria, and I was too shy. I didn't want anyone to know I didn't have friends. So for about 3 or 4 months, I spent my lunch hours in the bathroom eating my lunch. So no one would know I wasn't by myself. I didn't know how to make friends. You can build a life of serving God to feel those insecurities, to feel worth something valuable, to feel good about yourself. And the danger of it is it can be something you're called to be. Someone would say, well, I don't know if I want to follow God because He may send me to Africa. And I don't want to go to Africa. Yeah. I threaten Christy with that every once in a while when we're, you know, going through a hard time and financially. And she's like, I just wish. I said, well, we could move to Africa. He could call us to go to the jungles of Africa, live in a hut, eat monkeys. I would go if He told me. She knows I would. She's like, no, I like what I have. It's great. I'm so blessed. But see, the end, when we walk through that valley, that season of being safe without purpose, with only Him, when we walk through that, we're not motivated to do things. Because you'll find with anything in life that you're motivated for, that motivation leaves. So you go through that season. You come running up. I'm called. I have a dream. I know what I'm supposed to do. You hit that spot where you run into this will. And God says, now I'm in charge. And I'm going to ask you not to do stuff to satisfy yourself anymore, or to make yourself feel worth anything or valuable anymore. And you stop and you feel so alone, so insecure, so unvaluable. And it's so tempting, because right over here is something you can do to feel valuable, to build for yourself. And when you walk through that valley where He's all you have, He's all you need, where He satisfies you, that's when He hands you your calling. See, that's the choosing. Many are called, but few are chosen. He's not the one who chooses you. If you walk through that valley and shed the purpose, the need for purpose, shed the need to be looked up to, shed the need to be in charge, let Him help you shed your rights to do what you want, when you want, that season, that valley, when you come out of that valley, you will be chosen. And you'll be chosen to do, watch this, what you love to do. It's who you are. It's not a job anymore. It's who you are. Most Christians never get through the valley. They never even step in the valley. They try to go around it. And they'll give you scripture to why they can go around it. Reasons. I remember one time we were in Canada. I just started interning. They had a bunch of interns. All of us young, except for a couple. And they had a ladies' night, a ladies' luncheon. And they asked us interns if we will do the dishes for the ladies' luncheon. Now, this isn't a man's luncheon. A man's luncheon is a buffet, a plate, a fork, and a coffee cup. A lady's luncheon is like five plates, four spoons at least, or forks for whatever. And so they asked us, who can do it? So all of us interns, yeah. And so we showed up to do, it was a lady's luncheon, and there was 400 ladies at this luncheon. And the church had a big gymnasium and a kitchen. So someone decided it was their birthday and had a birthday party, one of the interns. So to do the luncheon, there was only two of us who showed up. And we sat there, and the dishes started coming in. you go through your seasons complaining about it. I'm doing all the work, or we're washing the dishes. And one of the ministers came in and saw that we were the only two there. And they said, well, look at you. Today, you two have qualified yourself for ministry. The others have disqualified themselves. And so we washed dishes, and it took us all night. And our motto was, today the dishes, tomorrow the world. See, it's easy to serve God when it's easy, convenient. But how about when it's not? When there's no motive, there's no reward. Can you do that? Will you serve God without letting what you're doing feed you? We all say yes, but that's part of the process of being available to do things that don't feed you, that don't satisfy you. Because here's the real deal. The job of a believer is to win the world. Well, no, let me rephrase that. That's not right. The job of the body of Christ is to win the world into God and help them grow into their calling. You have a place in the body that's waiting for you if you're not already in it. You can't get there on your own. Not in the sense of revival. You're not going to get there on your own. But if you let Him take you through a season of not being purpose-driven, not feeding yourself, your need to be worth something on doing what you like or what feeds you, then you will be chosen. I remember starting into God with passion and dreams and motivated. And then, where's the motivation? Where's that drive? Something's wrong. Something's wrong with me. No. I was being healed so that my only reason to do something as far as to serve God was not to get something from Him. It's my job. If I'm lonely, He satisfies me. If I need things, He wants to satisfy me. Not what I do. Do you understand that so much of ministry is loving you, loving myself through doing something for you? Now, I don't mean just feeding the poor, or I don't mean just, let me preach to the prayer center crowd. I don't mean just feeding the poor or unwed mothers or prison ministry. I mean prophesying. Let me teach you what my revelation is. Let me show you what God showed me. See, we can be just wearing a nice little robe, using spiritual things to get people to look up to us, getting people to feed the need to be worth something. So if you're going through that season right now and you're feeling a little lost or lonely and you're going through that valley, I want to encourage you that you're just in the process of being chosen. And there'll be a moment when He says, okay, I choose you now to do your calling. In the old days, when you did your calling, you usually lost things. Because you're so busy trying to make your calling come to pass. But if God gives it to you, you don't have to give up things. You don't have to give up your family or your integrity. When He gives it to you, it's Him through you. God doesn't want us doing things for Him. He wants to do things through us. The place of our will. I don't know how to say it the right way, what I'm feeling. Except it's a very dangerous, dangerous, dangerous message. A dangerous lifestyle. To keep your will as your guide and serve God at the same time. He'll always ask for you to give Him the privilege to lead your steps and guide you. Amen. And He will. If you will follow Him through that valley, the wonderful things He has in store for you. Now, notice I didn't talk about holiness. I didn't talk about perfection and sinlessness, because that's not the point. God chooses you for different reasons than man does. Well, let me just prophesy for a minute. Can I do that? I still have a minute. Let me prophesy. Thus saith the Lord to you. Okay? I'm being serious. Thus saith the Lord to you. I choose you for a different reason than man chooses you. So quit discrediting yourself when the very thing that I need you already have. The thing that most important for promotion in my kingdom you have. So don't discredit yourself because of your struggles. Men may discredit you because of your struggles, but I do not discredit you because of your struggles. Thus saith the Lord. Because that is what I believe. That one spot of letting go of your will and obeying Him is what qualifies you So many people are busy doing things in the name of God and they don't realize they're disqualifying themselves for their calling. You look at yourself and your failures and your struggles and say, God will never choose me. He'll never pick me. Even if I try, He'll never pick me. See, that's not the point. You have what you need. You have, right now, everything you need to follow Him. And He'll care less with your struggles as He pulls you forward because you give Him your heart and the right to lead you. Don't fight with holiness so much and think it's going to get you somewhere. I'm not saying don't fight with holiness, but don't think it's going to get you somewhere. What gets you to the chosen place of God is your willingness to let your life go into His hands. Every day. That's where promotion comes from. You are released. We'll see you at 10.